Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Work From Your Happy Place. I'm your host, Belinda Ellsworth. Today, I have a great guest in store for you, Miss Nita Patel. Nita is a speaker, author, and artist who believes in the modern etiquette as a path to becoming our best selves. Schooled in London and a veteran of corporate America, she has 20 plus years in technology and healthcare leadership and nurturing teams toward confidence and impact. It is my pleasure today to welcome Nita to our show.
Thank you.
Great. Well, Nita, let's just jump right in, fill in some of the gaps from your bio, and tell us a little bit more about your journey and what you're really doing today.
Yeah, absolutely. So I have a psychology background. However, I've been in the technology space in various industries, but I've spent the most amount of time in healthcare technology. About 14 years, and I've just had a lot of opportunity to work with mostly people-focused roles, even though I was in technology, a lot of leadership positions. So I hired a lot of people, I interviewed a lot of people, and that was one of the reasons I really felt the need to write my book, is just after the experiences that I had and kind of the gaps that I saw over and over and how people were presenting themselves and, you know, kind of bringing themselves to very important meetings. And so that's where my true inspiration came from for the book.
Great. And the name of the book?
The book is called Boss Vibes, Self-Esteem, Success, and the Art of Etiquette.
Great. You know, some people, and I'm of a different path, but some people would say that today etiquette doesn't matter as much, that you should just be your authentic self and whatever that is. And I kind of disagree with that just a little bit. I think you should be authentic and all that good stuff. But is etiquette important?
Absolutely. You know, I think the term etiquette, most people think of it in a very traditional sense, and traditional etiquette was about impressing others and, you know, how others thought about you and your families. And it was a very much of a social protocol, but in a, you know, others' perspective versus your own. I like to use the term modern etiquette and modern manners a lot, because this is really about, when I use that word, it's really about you and how you feel when you do certain things. You know, let's say when you dress nice, it makes you feel better. You know, it elevates your confidence, it elevates your self-esteem. And so to me, modern etiquette is really about you as the person. It's not so much about, you know, what society thinks or, you know, what the rules that have been established. It's very inward.
So dressing nice, I just had a lady recently say to me, is this really necessary? And I said, you'll feel better. And there is a more level of professionalism that people will take you more serious. So she was like, okay, like, do I really have to, like, you know, put makeup on and do my hair? Well, combing your hair is always a good idea on video. So, but seriously, this is the kind of questions that we get. So what are some other common modern etiquette things that you find that people, like, sort of struggle with today?
You know, I would say to respond to what you just shared, people often confuse authenticity with professionalism. And of course, with the influence of social media, authenticity has become so unfiltered that there's a lot of TMI out there. And so when people, because of that practice, you know, when people present themselves, they're also in that same position or in that same mindset, like, why can't I wear my pajamas to the grocery store? You know, why do I have to brush my hair? Why do I have to take a bath or, you know, take a shower? I think it's that authenticity versus professionalism. Professionalism is really about respect. You're respecting the environment you're in. You're respecting yourself. I mean, because let's face it, you know, you asked her to, wear something nice and put makeup on. A, that's going to make her feel better. But it's also going to, people are going to see her a little bit differently, right? Mm-hmm. And it's going to elevate her brand, whether she's, we are, you know, very much, especially today, we are our own brands, whether you're in business or whether you're in corporate, you know, regardless of what you do, our face is our brand. And so how we put ourselves together really matters. And I think, and that's where you create respect, right? Because when someone respects you, they want to work with you, they want to have a relationship with you, they want to collaborate with you. And that's how you open doors in life. You know, when someone comes up, let's say, for example, someone shows up on a Zoom call and they're in their pajamas or they haven't fixed their hair or something, you know, how does that make you feel, you know, that you're not important or that you don't matter? So there's a lot of respect involved between, you know, when we talk about authenticity versus professionalism.
I love that. And I do think respect is a key word, because another thing that I see in etiquette, I'm just going to tell you the ones I have been talking to people about, and then because this is to me so important. But the other thing I see a lot is people feel that it's authenticity, if they're just using whatever language they use. And I'm like, it is so unprofessional and disrespectful to whoever your audience is. Like, it doesn't matter if that makes you comfortable. Right. It's like, and I've had this issue with people. And so I think we're seeing more of that too. People have become very
comfortable.
You know, comfortable, I call it irresponsible, but yeah, they would call it something else. But in the foul language, like, there, one person said to me, oh, that's just a word everybody uses in their language today, like throwing F-bombs all over the place. And I'm like, no, it really isn't in a professional setting. So do you see that too?
Yeah, absolutely. And again, you know, I think you're on point with this. It's certainly about professionalism. It's about respect. It's, and we can probably take it even, you know, a step further and say, the more foul language you use, you know, you may think it's cool. And I definitely talk about this in my book.
Okay.
You might think it's cool, or that it, you know, gives you some kind of an edge, but you're attracting a lot of negative vibes at that point. You know, the lower your language, the more negativity you're attracting. And they're just low energy words, you know, from a maybe spiritual standpoint, but professionally, mm-hmm. you know, it doesn't give you edge. It doesn't make you look cooler. It's, you know, it's not a part of professional language, period. And I would say respect. Everything goes back to respect, you know. How you present yourself, how you speak, how you communicate, that says a lot about who you are. And if you don't respect yourself enough to have some of those filters in the right settings, you are not going to be respected by others. You know, I think it's just very straightforward there.
Okay. So tell us a little bit about your business today, and then how has it shaped your lifestyle?
Wow. The life of an entrepreneur. I've been in corporate for 25 years. So, you know, I would say more structure, going from structure to, it doesn't matter what day of the week it is or what time of the day it is. You have your list of things to do and you just keep going at it. As an entrepreneur, I think it's shifted a little bit because I've learned discipline, and I've learned, you know, how to create my own time and space for the biz, from a business aspect, you know, creating that structure, going from someone else's structure to creating your own is always a challenge. And mm-hmm. It definitely took me, I don't know, a good 6 months or so to really come up with my own schedule. And I used to work like 24/7, and now I'm like, nope, no laptop Saturdays.
Good.
So I think it's, you know, finding your own discipline, finding your own structure really shapes your lifestyle as an entrepreneur.
I would agree. It's funny because so pre-COVID, I was always gone. I left on Friday. I spoke on Saturday. And then Sunday, I would be home most of the time. And I would just kind of relax on Sunday. But then I always took Wednesdays off. And that was kind of my part of my weekend, you know, and we would do things with people or whatever. Well, then when COVID happened, all my speaking engagements were gone. And so then people just filled up, like my Wednesdays got filled up and there were more Zoom calls and there were more everything. But then I was still used to working on the weekends. And it took me probably a good 5-6 months to figure out that new routine that I wasn't just working 24/7 again. So that I had to shift, and I do take my weekends off. Like they're just, you know, I take them completely off now. Where before that was when I was presenting and working and doing conventions, but I would have time off during the week. And so you do have to set boundaries and you do have to have sort of that balance so that you kind of are enjoying life as well.
Yeah. And it's also about, you know, rejuvenation, right? When your brain is so overworked, you have no creativity left. And that was one of the things that I experienced is, you know, I just felt like I couldn't think no matter what day of the week it was, but because I was working all the time. And so it's so important as an entrepreneur to, yeah, find those, to create those boundaries, because when you make time to rejuvenate, it really allows you to be creative. You know, it allows your creativity to be more expansive. And so I think those are some really important factors in being a business owner.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that 100%. I think that's an outstanding point. So let's shift gears a little bit and let's talk about skill sets, like your superpowers. What do you think your superpower is that's really helped you to have a continued business, be successful, all those good things?
You know, I would say because of my background, because I have been in, you know, corporate for so long and I had done so many different things, I think just having that sense of the business sense, being a visionary, I think those are the types of things that really helped me structure and, you know, create the right vision for me. I would say, you know, being a creative as well, being a visionary is definitely one of my superpowers. And so, you know, always thinking big and not limiting yourself in, you know, where you want to go with what your idea and how you help people. I think it's really important to just be open, you know, to be when you're trying something new. And because you never know, you know, if you're dead set on one idea, it may not always work out. You know, sometimes you have to be flexible. And so I think being a visionary and kind of being open-minded helped me, you know, attract a lot of different types of opportunities. And that way I was able to select, you know, where I wanted to invest my time.
Mm-hmm. Very good. So let's talk about outstanding accomplishments. Do you have a couple that might stand out for you or something that you're really proud of?
It's always an interesting question. I think we all tend to be very self-critical. And so,
isn't that funny?
Yeah. You know, we're always like, oh no, that wasn't good enough. Let's go to the next big thing.
One of the fun things you said in your pre-interview was the default answer would be showing my work in the same museum as the Mona Lisa. That sounds interesting.
Yeah, I was going to go there next.
Okay.
I guess that could be a pretty big thing that I would be proud of. No, it was a fantastic opportunity. You know, the gallery that I was working with gave me a call, and I had just met them. I did a show in New York, and I met a bunch of wonderful people, and gallery owners, and you know, people around the world. And so, a couple months after that, I got a call from this one gallery, And they said, hey, you know, we saw your work. We loved it. We'd like to show it in a gallery in Paris. And, you know, first I was like, oh my gosh, Paris, you know, Paris is very near and dear to my heart. I was like, how exciting is that? But then I stopped in the moment. And, you know, this is where awareness comes in, right? Mm-hmm. To me, etiquette is about awareness and then taking the right action, you know? And so in that moment, I had the awareness and I said, oh my gosh, wonder if they can, you know, put my work in a museum. And so I said, hey, it doesn't hurt to ask. Let me just ask. And so I asked them and they were like, at first there was a pause and I'm like, oh no, I pushed too far. And so, you know, all these thoughts are going in my head a million miles an hour. And the gentleman on the phone comes back to me and he says, do you mind waiting a couple of weeks? I was like, well, of course not. It depends on where, you know, where you're going with this. He said, well, we're going to be showing, you know, three other artists' work at the Louvre in October. And we could include you in that if you're willing to wait. And I was like, willing to wait 3 weeks? Oh my gosh, yes. And so that was a very, you know, it all happened so fast, but it was a very, very exciting moment and I couldn't believe it.
Wow. So you're an artist too then?
I am.
Yeah. We missed that part of the little detail of that journey. Well, that is awesome. So I've got my curiosity. What was it a painting of that you had in the Louvre?
So I had a series called Diamonds and Champagne, and it was a series of five pieces, and it was a gentleman and a lady going to the ball, and the gowns I had like 0.10 carat diamonds, and I had gold, you know, 24 karat gold paint. And so it was just, it really fit the theme.
Oh, awesome.
You know, because it was just extravagant. And I was like, how appropriate.
Oh, that's awesome.
Which is interesting because most of my work is very large format, abstract work. And so it was just interesting how it all worked out in the moment where I had this collection ready to go. And that was the right place for it.
That's perfect. That's awesome. So then do you still have your works of art like for sale or for people to see?
I do. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. It's on my website at nita-patel.com. It actually takes you to Nita Patel Fine Art, but everything is, you can find everything that I do at nita-patel.com. And yeah, I have been busy painting surprisingly this season, even though galleries are closed and, you know, we're not able to go out in public and show. I guess a lot of people are redecorating. So
yeah,
a lot of calls for commission work. So it's been a lot of fun.
Oh, that is great. All right. So let's talk about sort of the polar opposite of that. What's one of the greatest challenges that you faced and how did you work through it?
Greatest challenges specific to the book process or?
Anything you want to share.
Okay. I can certainly talk about my challenge in writing the book. I would say, and it took me a little bit to write it because it was kind of a passion project at the time. And, you know, life happens every day. but I would say the biggest challenge for me through this was when I started writing the book, I was coming from a place of frustration. You know, why don't people, you know, to your point, why don't they know how to speak professionally? Why don't they know how to show up clean and, you know, paying attention to the details in their presence? And so there were so many things like that that made me frustrated. And so when I started writing my book, I came from a place of frustration. Well, by the time I was finished, you know, it was almost 2.5-3 years. And I would say 2.5 years, because I spent the last 6 months doing a few rounds of editing. But I was really coming from a place of compassion, you know, and I had gone through my own personal development journey through that period. And so the beginning of my book and the end of my book were kind of day and night. Yeah, I think the beginning of my book, it was like, this is how you need to do this. And why don't people know how to do this? And at the end of it, it was very much, you know, more of a compassionate outlook. You know, this is so important. You know, how you eat is so important because it actually helps your digestion process when you're sitting in a calm environment and the TV is not blasting and, you know, you're actually paying attention to your food. And so it was just day and night. And I had to go through a few rounds of, you know, going back and working through the content. And my editors were great. You know, they helped me quite a bit to balance it out. But I think it's always interesting when you do a project like that and, you know, you change as a person over time and how it kind of ends up. And so that was one of my biggest challenges. I was working against a deadline with my publisher and I'm like, I cannot let you have the book like this.
Right.
You know, it has to come from a place of love. It has to come from a place of compassion, you know, because I'm here to help people, not just voice my frustrations.
Right. I think that's great. And I think that that's good that you were able to recognize that and then make it the book that you wanted it to be. I know I've started several books and then not finished them. And I sometimes get really mad at myself. But it's funny because I found the one manuscript that it's like 75% done. And I started reading it. And I was kind of in that same place it was in like 2009. And I was just frustrated with everybody. And it's like, it still has some great stories and some great points. But it's how I would probably tell the stories today would be very much different than the way I was telling the story at that time, because sure. I was really fed up with people. I really was. I was like, yeah, we're in an economic downturn, but it's, you know, it's just, it's in your attitude. Like people still, the whole thing was on sales and customer service. And it's like, people say they want to make money and they were all complaining about there is no jobs. And yet I was trying to build a house and you go out and it's like, I could use some help with this or I'm looking for some ideas. And they're like, they're over there. Like nobody, you know, nobody really wanted to make any money. I mean, they said they wanted to make money and they said there was no money, but there was money and people didn't really take the necessary steps in customer service to make money. So I was like, this is crazy. It just proves that in a downturned economic time, you'd think people would be at the best of their game. Do you know what I mean?
Right, right.
They weren't. So funny. So what does working from your happy place mean to you?
You know, I would say balance, peace, harmony. And that might sound a little cliche, but you know, when you are, and I think this also goes back to the creativity comment that I made earlier. It's like when you take time to rest, when you take time to, you know, for me, meditate, work out, whatever the things are that kind of keep you in a balanced place of mind, I think that's a happy place. You know, but then a next step further, having peace and harmony. I think that's really important. And I think people maybe underrate the impact of disharmony, you know, when relationships, whether it's your coworkers or teammates or family members, you know, or your clients, it doesn't matter really who it is. If they're kind of in your energy sphere and you have disharmony with someone, it really impacts your success, you know, in that moment. And so I think it's just really, really important to have that harmony, because harmony, having a good relationship with the, you know, everyone around you really boosts your ability to succeed in what you're doing, you know, and it doesn't have to be anything big. It can just be all the day-to-day things that you have to get done, but it still makes an impact. It cuts out all the mental chatter, you know. We tend to live in our heads a little bit too much sometimes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think it just removes a lot of that. And yeah, so I would say peace and harmony are definitely really, really important factors to be in a happy place.
That's awesome. You mentioned a meditation, but like, what are some other things that you find help you get that sort of peace and harmony? Like, Because I think that's difficult for a lot of people, especially entrepreneurs who are trying to make their business work and they're working really hard, like you said, 24/7. So what are some ways for people to sort of get that peace?
I think physical activity is a big part of it also. Mm-hmm. We probably underestimate that as well, because physical activity also kind of breaks our emotions. One of the things that I always share as a part of my coaching in my coaching platform is when you have a fear thought, you know, when you have a self-doubt thought, get up and do 5 jumping jacks or get up and do 5 push-ups. The physical activity cuts your emotional connection to that thought right in the moment. Otherwise, you could have that self-doubt thought and within 30 seconds, you know, you've lost your whole business. Mm-hmm. You know, our mind has a way of protecting us, and I say that in air quotes. And so physical activity, I think, is really important to cut out all of those fears and the mental chatter that is not good for us. And so I would say I would share that as a recommendation, is make that a part of your daily routine, no matter what. It's really helpful in how you feel emotionally and mentally.
I love that. I know that is so true of myself. I just, when I don't do it and I get too busy, and then it just seems like it just becomes more grinding, and then I take the time out to walk or bike. I've been really biking a lot lately, and it's just so, I'm so energized when I come back. I feel clear-headed. I feel like I have way more energy even mm-hmm. when I've just gone 25 miles. I mean, it's amazing at what it really is able to do for you. And I think I had gotten really sort of stuck a bit during this whole pandemic situation of becoming a little bit paralyzed. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
And then I'm like, no, I just need to go find my thing and do my thing. And so mine was biking this summer, and it just fell in love with it. And it has been really, really great. So,
I mean, and it's also the release of, when you're doing physical activity, you know, it's the release of oxytocin. It's all the chemicals in your brain. I mean, it changes your mood, right? It's mm-hmm. an uplifting result. And so, you know, it'll immediately shift your mood. That's actually one thing that I also do a deep dive in my program. I talk a little bit about it in the book, but, you know, your body language and how you sit, how you stand, what you do with your arms and legs and, you know, everything else, it does affect how you feel. It impacts your mood so immediately. And so I like to share a lot of confidence building tips with people because I, you know, we have tools. We don't have to go anywhere or do anything. You know, all we have to do is stretch our arms out or do a fist pump, you know, mm-hmm. to boost our mood just a little bit. And it's a physiological reaction, just like when you work out or exercise.
That's awesome. I'm excited to read your book. How's that?
Right.
I think it's going to be a great asset for a lot of people. And because I think that people, it's a lost art, and to be quite honest with you. So I love this. So tell me about what advice you would give to others wanting to sort of mark their own way or pave their own path and be an entrepreneur.
You know, I would say don't limit yourself. Be flexible. I think I shared that earlier. Flexibility is definitely key. You need discipline, and yes, you need to have a great business strategy and all of those things. But flexibility and being open to opportunities is the message that I would share. You know, I think people are starting to say, the advice that they give is to say no, you know, when something comes up, because it's a whole, you're creating boundaries when you say mm-hmm. no. And I really say the opposite. My advice is say yes. Because the more you say yes, and not necessarily, you know, overschedule yourself or have 10 meetings a day, but say yes in your mind, because when you do that, you never know what doors are going to open for you. And, you know, if you have that flexibility, you can really find your path, you know, and sometimes we think that we know our path and it ends up being something a little bit different. But as long as you're flexible with that and you say yes, I think you find your purpose, your alignment, everything falls into place.
I love that. It's so funny because it's like, if you went way back, you know, I've been in this whole personal development space for, gosh, you know, 30 plus years. Mm-hmm. So if you go way back to different sales books or different things, it was always like, you know, say yes, say yes, say yes to opportunities, say yes to people. You don't know where the door is going to lead you. And that was a big, huge thing. And then it became this, you have to set boundaries and you need to learn to say no to people and you got to say no. And now I find it's people's default. They, before they think about whether they would want to do something or not, their automatic habitual response is, no, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Without really thinking about why or why not. Mm-hmm. But then I also think there's this whole movement. I know you have to have boundaries. You know what I mean? Like, clearly,
yeah,
not absolutely. Letting people take advantage of you, not letting people walk all over you, not doing something that doesn't align with your beliefs because you just want to make money or because an opportunity presented itself. We're not talking about that. But I think that there's confusion because this whole messaging is that etiquette isn't important. It's outdated. And that you have to set boundaries everywhere you go. Like this, everywhere I turn, it's like, oh, it's all about setting boundaries. And it's like, people now don't even exactly know how to interpret that. So that they're, again, putting these walls up around themselves that they really are not allowing themselves to be open to opportunity, to new relationships, lots of things that mm-hmm. are exciting and engaging and I don't know. I'm really yeah. seeing a pattern of what's happening, especially in a lot of young people today. And I don't know that it's I think it's really challenging. I think I agree with all of it.
No, you're right. And the word I was looking for that I couldn't think of, you said movement. It's a no movement.
I know.
Like, that's not fun. You know, think 20 times before you say yes. And no, that's not how you find, and you know, I'm going to use the word magic. That's not how you find, you know, the magic of life and the experiences of every day is when you say yes, that's when you can truly experience every day. And I can tell you, you know, I have been saying, I've been in this mindset for some time now. And you know, people talk about quantum leaps and all of these other theories of mm-hmm. ways of finding success, but say yes, and you will step into the quantum leap. Say yes, and you will attract what you or have been, you know, looking for or wanting. It's when you say yes that all the magical things happen and doors open up. So yeah, I'm with you on that.
Oh, that's awesome. Yes. So what are some new and exciting things that you're working on that our listeners might benefit from? And then if you could once again tell people where they can find you, that would be awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm working on a couple of things right now, or I should say not working on. I have two programs that I'm offering right now. And one is a Elevate Your Personal Brand 12-week program where we really go into, we do some inner work as well as outer work. You know, I think you always have to clean out what's inside to then present yourself properly, to really find that confidence in you, to elevate your brand, to be that person, you know, with emotional freedom, if you will, so mm-hmm. that you can live your dream, you know, so that your dreams can become goals. And you can work towards that. So that's what my 12-week Elevate Your Brand program is about. And then I am, in a couple of weeks here, I'm launching Write Your Book in 90 Days. You might be interested in that.
There you go.
And, you know, like you said, so many people want to write books and kind of through my journey, you know, it took me a long time because it was such a side project and it was the last priority every day. And so it took me a few years. And with everything that I've learned, and I've formed great relationships with, you know, various publishing firms and such. And so I really want to do that as a give back. And so it is going to cross through the holidays. And so it's going to extend out through the end of January. But I think it's going to be really fun, you know, to help help people write their book in 90 days. And it's, we're going to make sure you start. We're going to make sure you finish. You know, we'll go through this whole process and it's, we'll keep it very simple. But that's something that I'm really excited about. And everybody that I talk to is really excited about that as well. So
awesome.
Yeah, those are the two things, the two programs that I have. You can find information about both programs at nita-patel.com. And if you want to reach out to me directly, you can email me, reachme@nitapatel.com. That's reachme@nita-patel.com.
Perfect. Well, Nita, this has absolutely been a delightful interview. Thank you so much for your insights, your wisdom, and just some really great solid gold nuggets for people to take with them and just little things that they can tweak to make their lives just more meaningful and make their work more meaningful and have more joy in it. So it was absolutely wonderful. So thank you so much for that.
Thank you. Thank you for allowing me to share.
Yes, absolutely. And everyone, thank you so much for joining in. Make sure that you subscribe to Work From Your Happy Place so that you don't miss a single one of our great interviews. There's always some really great nuggets and pearls of wisdom from every single entrepreneur that shares. So we love a rating. If you enjoyed today's show, make sure that you go and do a review or give us a rating. And until next time, we can't wait to see you on Work From Your Happy Place. Bye for now.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends and be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.